Amen. 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 Bless you. Bless you, Sister Treva. I'd like to, again, ask for your prayers, and I'd like to share some scripture with you today from the book of Jeremiah. If you would like to read with me, turn to Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, and I want to begin reading with verse 15. I want to talk to you today about things we can't do anything about. And really, as human beings, our ability to do things falls within very narrow limits, does it not? And so let's think about that thought today, the things that we can't do anything about. Jeremiah 13, beginning with verse 15. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. And I want to stop reading there with verse 24. And as I said, as we consider the thought about things that we just can't do anything about, I want us to look at the two questions that were asked here in the 23rd chapter of, or 23rd verse of the 13th chapter of Jeremiah. In that verse, he puts forth two questions. One, can the Ethiopian change his skin? And the second one, or the leopard his spots? And he went on and he said, you know, if this can be done, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. And I want to tell you in the beginning that it's my view that the answer to both of these questions is no. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the leopard change his spots? No. It's my belief that neither of them can do anything about this. And I really believe that what we need to see here is that this cannot be changed because it's their nature. And that's what I want us to think about for a moment. I want you, if you're here today and you've not been saved, I want you to think with me for a moment about your nature. The Bible tells us in the second chapter of Ephesians, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He said, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh among the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, what he was saying to them in that is that he was reminding them that by nature they were sinners. They were sinners. And we cannot change that nature. We cannot change our nature any more than the Ethiopian can his skin or the leopard his spots. And so I want you to understand that today that we are sinners by nature. Now I'm going to tell you something that I believe because of that. For you and I, and I do believe that there was a difference between us and Adam. Adam had a choice whether or not to become a sinner. He had a choice. You and I have never had that choice. We are born with the nature of sin. We are born sinners. And so we need to understand today that you and I, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We sin because that is our nature. Adam became a sinner because that he sinned. You see, he was made perfect. God created him, and when he did, when God made Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, he created a perfect man when he created Adam. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, Solomon said, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions." And so Adam, by the law that God gave to him, the one law that he gave to him, he had the choice of whether or not he would be a sinner. And of course we know that he chose to disobey God, and he became a sinner. And the Bible tells us that as a result of that, that we were all plunged into sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that's exactly what it tells us. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And everybody from the seed of Adam after that time has been a sinner by nature. And we are that today. And so we need a change. Lost friend today, you need a change. You absolutely need a change. But I want you to know that it's a change that you cannot produce. And there are many people in the world today, and there have been for many years, there have been and there still are now, there are many people in the world today that are trying to get to heaven by changing themselves. That's what the Pharisees would try to do. But if you read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, you'll find out there Jesus tells us what the end result of that is. And I'm telling you today that no matter how much self-reform that you may do, well, let me just put it plainly, and I hope that none of you are guilty of these things. But listen, if you are, a person that is guilty of drunkenness cannot save themselves and cannot justify themselves before God by giving up drinking. A person that is guilty of drugs cannot save themselves or justify themselves before God if they give up drugs. A person that's guilty of thievery cannot justify themselves and save their soul if they turn over a new leaf and stop stealing. Now, all of those things, you know, if anybody is guilty of any of those things, certainly all of those things are good to, you know, to get away from and certainly stop doing those things. But let me tell you something. All of the self-reform that a person may try to perform upon themselves will not change the fact that they are a sinner by nature. And so what I want you to understand today, if you are here and you have not been saved, that you certainly have a huge problem. You certainly have a situation that's more crucial than any situation that you could ever find yourself in. You're lost. You're separated from God. And there's never going to be anything worse than that in your life. You know, the greatest thing that has ever happened to me is that I got saved. The worst thing that ever happened to me, the worst condition, let me put it that way, the worst condition that I ever found myself in was when I realized that I was lost and separated from God. In that condition, I was bound for an eternal hell. I was bound for an eternity without God. And it can't get any worse than that. But thank God that He's merciful and thank God that He's willing to save. And so I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful that by His grace that I've been saved. And God has produced the change in me that was necessary in order for me to be justified in His sight. But I'm telling you that God has to do it. Now, the Bible teaches me that the penalty for sin is death. And I want you to understand something today. If you're here and you're lost, you need to embrace this truth and embrace the reality that you are going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die that natural death, and we're going to leave this world, and we're going to enter into eternity, and that's true for all of us. Because there again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." The Bible tells us in the 6th chapter of the Roman letter that the wages of sin, which means the penalty for sin, the wages of sin is death. And so because of that, we all are going to die, and I want you to know that there is nothing that we can do to alter that. Sometimes I think people, entertain the thought of that. Well, I'll just do this and I'll do that and I'll just keep myself healthy and happy. But let me tell you something. No matter what that you do, no matter what you try, no matter how many vitamins that you take, or no matter how much health care that you seek after, we cannot change the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And let me tell you something, make no mistake about it, lost friend. And we don't know when God is going to call. He does those things in His own timing. But make no mistake about it, that when that call comes from God, when He calls you into the dust of death, you're going to be powerless in that moment to do anything about it. If you don't believe that, turn and read Ecclesiastes 8:8. Solomon said, there's no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. And there's no discharge in that war. We must all needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered together again. It is appointed unto us. It's the result of sin, and it's something that we have to face, and it's something that we cannot alter. You'll never figure out a way to get out of it. It's coming. It's coming to us all. The Bible teaches me that God has prepared two eternal places. He prepared a great place for His saints when this life is over. He prepared a place called heaven where all of those who have been saved can rest eternally in His presence and enjoy eternal bliss in the presence of God forever and forever. And He made a place that the Bible tells us about called hell that burns with unquenchable fire, and He prepared that place for the devil and his angels, and all nations that forget God will be cast into hell. Listen, friends, today this is just the plain truth of the Word of God. Every soul that fails to seek the Lord and get right with God, every soul that fails to experience the new birth, when they die and leave this world, they're going to go into hell and be there forever and forever and experience all the torments and the tortures of that place through all eternity. And there's not a thing in the world that you can do to change that. God has set that in motion, and that's the way that it is, and that's the way that it has been, and that's the way that it's going to be. Nobody that fails to repent of their sins and trust the Lord for salvation will escape that awful place. There's nothing that you can do to alter that. The Bible teaches me that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to judge. In the 17th chapter of Acts, in Paul's sermon at Mars Hill, he said this. He said, God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised him from the dead. God has appointed a day of judgment. You know what? I wonder sometimes if very many people in the world today, the way that people act, I wonder sometimes if very many people in the world today even still believe in such a thing as a day of righteous judgment. I wonder if they even still really believe that there's going to be a day when God is going to judge this world in righteousness. But I'm telling you that He will. And not only has God appointed a day in which He's going to judge this world in righteousness, but if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible teaches us that we have no choice whether or not to be there. Amen. Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they're good or bad. Let me tell you something. If you've got any thought, if you've entertained the foolish thought in your mind of somehow escaping the day of judgment, you might as well forget about it. You might as well dismiss that from your very thoughts, because that's something that we cannot change. I know that. I know that the day is coming when I'm going to have to stand before my Creator, and I'm going to have to give an account unto Him of everything in this life. That's exactly what the Bible says that we're going to have to do. If you stand before Him, with the blood of Christ, if you stand before Him with the blood of Christ as your covering, things will be well with you. If you stand before Him without that, then things will not be well with you. Things will be awful for you. But either way, we are going to stand before God's righteous judgment, because He has appointed that day, and He has determined that we must all appear before Him. You know what I'm trying to tell you today? If you're here and you're lost, if you don't turn to the Lord, and if you don't place all your trust in Him for the salvation of your soul, you're going to die in your lost condition. You're going to die that way. You're going to die and be eternally separated from God. But I have good news for you. The Lord made a way that we can escape the woes of death. The Lord made a way that we can escape eternal damnation, that we can escape eternal hell. He made that way through Jesus, and He made that way for all of us. And that, you know, these things, as I said, we can't change our nature. We can't change the fact that death is appointed to us. We can't change the fact that, God's got a day of judgment when we're going to stand before Him. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel concerning God, it says He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven, and none can stay His hand. And I'll tell you what, whether the world believes it still or not, whether the world embraces it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back one day, and when He comes, He's going to gather His elect from the four corners of the earth to be with Him for eternity. And all of those that have not made good by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to say unto them, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Folks, I'm telling you today, as I stand before you, these things are not just fables and they're not just a myth. These things that the Bible speaks about, they're going to come. They're going to happen one day. And if you find yourself lost and without the Lord in that time, there's nothing. There's nothing that will help you. Your opportunity is now. You have the opportunity now to turn to the Lord. And I would urge you to do that very thing. And I'll tell you what, when we have a song here in a few minutes, the altars here, the mourners' benches that we have up here, they're here for your use, and you're welcome to use them. But I'm telling you, you better do more than come to a mourners' bench if you want to be saved. You're going to have to come to Jesus with all of your heart. You're going to have to come to Him with all of your strength. You're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus with everything you have, desiring salvation above everything else in this world, because kneeling at a wooden bench won't save you. Amen. Nothing short of coming to Christ with all of your heart will save you. Romans chapter 10, "For with the heart..." Not because the knees bowed, but with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then when you get it, then you can confess it with your mouth that you got it, that you've been saved by God's grace. But you cannot save yourself. Despite your best efforts, you cannot change your sinful nature. Only the Lord can do that. Only Christ can make us that new creature. Only He can give us that new nature. Won't you come to Him today? Come to the Lord. And let me tell you something. As I've said, the mourner's bench is here for you to use, but it doesn't matter if you come here or if you bow at your seat. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's where your heart truly turns to the Lord that you'll be saved. So my admonishment to you today, my advice to you today, is to turn to Jesus with all your heart. Seek Him for that change that only He is able to make. Let's have a song. There's a great day coming when the saints and the sinners are going to be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Have you made your preparation? If not, I urge you to make it today. Today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.